Hello everyone, it's Helen again, voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. And this time I'm telling you about a new horror podcast that's launching on the RQ network. The Storage Papers is a bi-weekly horror anthology podcast exploring a series of documents about unexplained phenomena in Southern California. Our protagonist Jeremy won these papers at auction and is now immortalizing them in the form of a podcast. But he's found himself in the middle of a sinister plot. Things are not what they seem. Season 3 of The Storage Papers is releasing right now on the RQ network, and you can find it wherever you listen to your podcasts, or visit www.rustyquill.com or www.thestoragepapers.com for more information. Have fun and see you later.
Welcome to episode 201 of the Rustyquill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM Alex Newell, and with me today I have
Ben Meredith,
Bryn Monroe,
Lydia Nicholas,
and Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Zolf Smith,
Hamid Salaharun Altahan,
Sel Sidebottom,
and Azu.
And now let us continue our adventure in the Dungeon of 1,000 Bosses. Oh, Alex, do you ever get tired of them beating all of your bosses? Yes. There will now be only bosses all the way down.
And we're going down the stairs as well. There's going to be one on every landing.
Yeah, we're literally flushing ourselves down a drain right now.
No!
You're in that bit of the game where you're in the sort of new game plus where you're in the tower working your way up all of increasing levels of boss until one of them hits you.
I don't
it's
like
fine.
It.
I was distressingly close to death last episode, thank you. I don't know if it was obvious when listening to it, but it was scary.
So you were mechanically,
for me.
But you don't look beaten up, so I need to hit you again.
On the plus side, thanks to various fans, especially White Wolfos, I think their name was, I have realized that I've been healing for less heal than I should have been. So now I have 5d6 healing for everybody, if that's... I hope that matters.
It probably will. And an additional piece of bookkeeping before we get started, which is in my infinite benevolence, I have concluded that anyone who spent more than one channel positive energy against the Horde shall receive one of those back. Put simply, I ran the numbers. I think that hordes in this system are treated as a single creature. I think they should be treated as multiple, so channel positive energy like have a bigger effect. I accounted for it, but I ran the numbers after the fact and was like, I think I was a little bit mean there. So I've granted one of those back as a fair cop. I didn't run the numbers as well as I thought.
But just for people keeping track, I think that means that both Zolf and Azu have one channel positive energy back.
Perfect.
Yeah. Does that also mean I get 2 lay on hands back?
I don't get any bombs. No bombs.
No
back.
Fresh bombs. No. The bombs were awful. I hate them. They can stay used. And no extra lay on hands is unless you're using the channel positive energy interaction thing.
That's how I work.
So by giving her one channel positive back, you're giving...
I didn't know if you were asking for extra. I thought you might be driving a hard bargain.
I couldn't drive a hard bargain to save my goddamn life. I just roll over and I'm like, I guess you would know. Yeah.
Oh no, I was trying to drive a hard bargain, I swung off and accidentally took a shortcut through. You can have whatever you want.
In terms of where we're at, we're underneath now the plant-based Jurassic Park, underneath the dwarven-led city, underneath Svalbard. Basically, that's pretty much where we're at.
We haven't really gone downhill that much.
Yeah, that's a fair point. In fact, speaking of that, can I get a will save from everyone?
Sure.
Oh, we haven't gone down enough. Everyone panic.
Okay, all right.
Good dice, well done.
Natural 20, 37.
Oh, no!
Wow.
No, God, no. Anything but that, please, God.
29 for Hamid, and 23 for Skrok.
Skrok's keeping his own on these will saves.
Do we have any bonuses from anything anyone's cast No, because otherwise it's just
nothing
a 15.
Nothing active right now, I don't think.
That's cool.
You are still a beastie because you are flying over the horde, but I don't think that has any bonuses that are relevant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I am definitely recently a beastie, and remembered also from the levelling up that they've got that for 100 minutes, not 90. Going to be a beastie for a while. But unfortunately, the beastie does not have great will.
I need to check whether prayer is still active, because that would give everyone a plus one.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. How long does prayer last?
I think 10 rounds, but I don't know if that means that it goes away once you're out of combat.
Well, effectively, sort of, because...
10 rounds, because of the nature of this save, I'm going to say prayer doesn't count on this one.
Okay. In which case...
No bonus.
Yeah, so I got an unusually low 13.
Ooh.
13, understood. And what did Sel get?
15.
15, understood. Thank you all.
Oh no, don't like this.
He sounds happy.
I appreciate your time. So, we're all at the top of that comparatively dense-looking spiral staircase, having made it through past the horde, effectively.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't actually, weirdly enough, had to hurry because you actually destroyed the horde. You didn't even sort of circumnavigate them. So this circular stairway, it has water runoff from. You know, you're in that room that was a sort of weird combination of the water systems and what looked to be like molten magma running through pipes and so on.
Mm-hmm.
What seems to be here is the circular stairway seems to be circling around what is the water runoff from that system effectively. So it's running down through the middle and you are circling around it. Although it does not appear to be a service corridor, it appears to be comparatively plush. So if you're in a staff-only area, it's a, you know, management-only area or something. So, yeah, you've got guardrails and all that kind of thing, but it disappears further than you can see downwards.
One audio question, then.
Mm-hmm.
Is the drain, is the runoff, like, enclosed in a pipe, or is it just free-falling? Because, like, is this stairway incredibly loud?
And are we circling a waterfall?
So... good question. It is an enclosed runoff, but it is piping that alternates between sort of steel bands and then transparent, so you can see the stuff running through. It's still quite loud, because you can hear that sort of drumming against the tubing, but you can also see that what's running through that now is quite polluted with zombie bits.
Oh,
sort of being flushed from the system and down. Yeah. What I would say, though, is it's not as bad as it could be. There is so much water running through this system that, like, it's going to get flushed within, like, a few moments. We're kind of... I'm giving you a snapshot because you have just closed the door. But, yeah, it disappears downwards beyond where you can see, and it appears to be... a thoroughfare. The stairway is wide. It is not a narrow spiral staircase. You could walk easily two abreast. And it has a very gentle slope. But that's why you can't see much further, is because you loop around under yourself too quickly.
All right, I guess we go down it.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, as all of you are hiking downwards and so on, it's a gentle walk, and you seem to have left behind a lot of those tourist fripperies that we were talking about. Don't expect any more expositional murals, let's put it that way. There is a pretty much unfaded red carpet running down the middle of the stairway, and like I said, they're narrow steps, and as you're heading along, at first it seems to be nothing more than, oh, I've had a fight and I'm just on the come down a little bit. But as both Azu and Sel press on, you start feeling increasingly weary.
Uh-oh.
And it's a very, very slow effect, very gradual. And unless anyone says otherwise, I'm going to assume that you're continuing down this spiral staircase at not a sprint, effectively.
Mm-hmm.
As you continue doing these circles, it feels more like you're climbing upstairs than downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have with it that out of breath. You're not like, you're not panting or anything like that, but you just, your arm is starting to feel heavier. That crossbow is all, it's just a little bit heavier than you thought it was. And as you keep heading down, it starts to be a point where it is visibly obvious to Hamid, but basically to the whole group, that you are starting to drag your feet in a way that no perception checks are needed. It's just, it's like you're entering almost a higher gravity or something, because it's just wearying you so much.
Okay. I'd like the visual of like Sel is basically a kind of bat creature at the moment with long claws and, of course, is on -2 charisma. So it's just like bumping into things. And occasionally their claws like catch on the red carpet and leave like a gash in it. And they're like, oh, sorry, sorry, around their fangs. They're like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm just getting in the way.
Hang on a minute. Right. Let me have a look at you. Give us a sec.
Okay.
I want to do a heal check on Azu and Sel to try and find if they're under the influence of any status effects. Or, like, what's going on, but that's specifically what I'm looking for.
That's fine. Give me a medicine check.
Yes.
I would like to cast Detect Magic while that's happening as well.
Yes. I'll do the medicine check first.
Yep.
26.
They are under some kind of magical effect, but you've not seen this before, and you're pretty good at medicine. This is rare, whatever it is. Like, you are recognizing symptoms of a magical effect, but you're not able to pinpoint what it is. It's odd. It's odd. Beyond that, you did get a decent roll. You don't believe that it has been a sudden trigger. You don't think someone's like trodden on a trap that's triggered it or something. It feels to be more like they are responding to an emanation that seems to be affecting them and not you or Hamid. But you don't know whether it's going to get stronger as they carry on, whether it'll get less, but it feels like it's something environmental rather than something targeted, but that's as far as you can really get. And that's really, you're heading into sort of like a supposition at that point rather than actual diagnosis, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
You detect magic. There is an ambient magic in the air. By in the air, I mean in the environment, not literally like in the gas. You give me a knowledge arcana.
24.
It's not wild magic, but you do not discern a specific school.
Yeah.
Summit hinkies going on, summit weirds going on. It is, again, same as with Zolf. You're not really able to tell if it's getting worse the deeper you get or whether it's getting better or whatever, but there's something definitely hinky, but definitely not wild magic.
Yeah.
You got any ideas?
No, I think we seem to be in the aura of something, but it's big and faint enough that I can't tell much more than that.
Right.
Couldn't even tell you where it's originating from.
Let me try something. Sell.
Yes.
And then I'll...
yes. Yep.
I'll use Calming Touch so that heals 1d6 points of non-lethal damage, which I don't think we've taken any of. But it also removes fatigued, shaken, and sickened conditions.
Understood.
So I don't know if Sell feels any better, but that's what it would do.
It doesn't seem to have any effect. You don't feel worse, mm-hmm. but it just... You know what? Between the two of Hamid and Zolf, I would say whatever magical effect this is, it doesn't seem to be a physical drain on the body. That is something you would, between the two of you, be able to spot.
So it's not causing the fatigued condition, even though it is...
It very much has the appearances of it,
yeah,
and
yeah.
You can conclude that only after having gone, well, I'll just remove that fatigue. Ah, right. So that's what's going on there.
All right, hang on a minute.
I'm very sorry.
No,
I don't
got...
really...
Ah, no, actually, look, stop thinking like that. Right, both of you...
Rawr.
Mm?
Buck up, and I'm going to use two uses of Liberty's Blessing,
ooh.
Which... Ooh. Grants a swift action, save against a spell or effect that it is suffering from that grants a save. So, because they failed the save, and the save DC is equal to the... Basically, you just get to re-roll, have another go on the save. You get no bonuses, it's the same DC, but you just get to roll again.
Yeah, go for it again.
I mean, Sel rolled high on that one. Sel has a will of 4, so like...
Whoa. Unfortunately, I would use it with Unity, but I only get one of those a day, because then you'd be using my will save.
No,
but...
it's fair.
Okay.
So what do I get for Sel?
10.
Ooh. It doesn't make it worse. That's not how that works.
Phew.
How about you, Azu?
Azu now gets 18.
18? No effect.
Oh.
Right. Sorry about that.
I could try. Azu is going to lay on hands herself. Because you said it's not fatigued, but she has enfeebled.
I will give you some help here and go, Zolf would just be like, that's not gonna work. This is more of a malady of the spirit than it is a malady of the body.
Ooh. I mean, Cell could cast haste on themselves and just be tired but fast. Which is, you know, all of us who work multiple jobs know how productive that state can be. Caffeine. We'll get this work done.
I mean, if we continue, we might find the source of it, but I can't be certain that we're going towards it.
I'm stumped. If that didn't work, I ain't got anything more for this. So, you know, it's either keep going or turn back, and we can't really.
Well,
turn
we need
back.
To keep going.
Yeah.
So I'm going. I will. Come on, Cell. We can.
Yep. Attempts to wholeheartedly agree, but halfway through starts yawning and like gets a bit lost on their own teeth.
Azu is going to like offer her arm to Cell. Even though Azu, like, don't worry, I know that Azu is also extremely fatigued, but she's going to try real hard.
But she's Azu, yeah.
Just keep us updated. If it gets worse or changes, let us know. We'll be able to sort this out. Just,
it's definitely a magical effect, so.
Right, okay. We'll be all right. Okay.
Okie doke.
Yes.
I'm going to periodically recast Detect Magic as we head downwards, because hopefully it might become clear if the aura is getting stronger or not, at least.
Sure, sure. In that case, then, am I right in saying that you start to continue going down that staircase?
Yeah,
keep on going. I think at one point, probably Cell, being beast-shaped, will probably move on to being all fours and is kind of...
Yeah, that kind
you
of...
Know, walking along. And then, you know, to the point having... then, the wings, like the way a bat walks with them, like, six-legged.
Well, at that point, Azu will unlink arms with Cell.
Yeah.
So, heading down the stairway, I'd say it takes maybe another 10 minutes or so to start reaching the bottom. It's... Because the stairway is shallow, it's not as far as it could have been, but it is, you know, it's decent length. Over the course of that time, you don't notice a strengthening of the magical aura, Hamid, and neither Azu nor Cell have any stronger reaction to what is going on. Whatever seems to be happening has happened, if you know what I mean. Like, it doesn't seem to be worsening, it just is. Eventually, you will make it to the base of the stairway, at which point I get to bounce you across to the new map, which, much like the old map, should be entirely shrouded in blackness.
I've slightly lost track of time compared to a couple of episodes ago. I'm going to recast Heroism on Skrark.
Sure.
It might be a bit soon for that, but it feels sensible to do it now before we enter this new level.
That's fine.
I am keeping track of beast shape. It seems like mutagens fought 10 minutes, so they're on about 88 minutes still.
Yeah, you've got ages. You got ages, don't worry about that.
I've got it written down. Look at your new thing.
So you should all, flawlessly, with no faffing behind the scenes, be at the top of a stairway looking down to what looks like a set of double doors.
Oh, it's like magic, Alex.
That was instantaneous.
It just worked.
My tea is the same temperature now as it was the last time we spoke.
So you find yourself, shocker, at the top of a staircase, as much as I said. It's about 15 foot across and leads towards a set of double doors. The double doors are... broadly speaking, as ornate as the touristy ones were. So think like they have an inlay of mithril and things like that. They are currently closed. There is a... Everyone give me a perception check.
Ooh.
Right.
Cell got 15, which is as low as Cell can get other than a natural one.
You get nothing.
I got 13.
You get nothing.
Skrark got 23. Hamid got 33.
Damn it.
Zoff has 28.
But I think maybe Cell just has a nap on Azu.
Hamid, with your 33, there is a very, very faint magical tone with an N emanating from the other side of those double doors.
I can't detect magic again.
I'm just imagining a toe sticking through the...
That's a wizard's toe.
You detect no magic beyond what we've already been discussing. Oh, no, I lie. You will detect a faint amount of magic on the doorway, but for free, you can tell that that's because magic was used in its construction. It doesn't appear to be a trap or anything like that.
Okay, so but there's basically what you're saying is the second we open the doors, there's magic on the other side.
You hear the sound of something magical happening, not immediately under the side of the other doors, but right. I know that. That is a magic sound. It's right on the edge of hearing, though.
I can hear something very faintly on the other side of the doors. It sounds... I can't quite place it. It feels really familiar from, like, university, like, when they were doing, like, experimenting, and you could just about hear it, but I can't place it more specifically.
So wakes up at the word experiment.
Something's going on.
Do you think it's... I mean, a stupid question. Do you think it's dangerous?
Hard to tell.
Impossible to tell, yeah.
Yeah, we should probably just carry on, but I guess just... Yeah, right. We're already wary, I don't know. Sorry.
Would any kind of knowledge arcana be helpful?
Not really, okay. Not at this stage.
On we go.
Well, I'm going to suggest that I don't have the responsibility to play Skrark at this point, but he may well want to check the door for traps and then open it in a rogue sense.
Since we're dungeon crawling, I'm okay for you to still have control of Skrark, okay. As you're not playing Skrark. Counter to
sure.
Normal.
So I'm going to suggest that Skrark basically checks the door first and then opens it.
Skrark checks, there are no traps. Skrark carefully opens the door, revealing yet more corridor on the other side. However, it is in a different character. There is laid flagstones and there are a pair of lit, very, very large braziers fit to the walls. They appear to have sort of glowing embers rather than big, huge flames, but they are still lit. There is a big, lush carpet leading off to the left, so you've clearly come into a T-junction of some kind, because at the far end are a similar set of ornate doors. And there is a streak of purple light coming out from the end that the carpet is rolling out from.
Is that the source of the sound?
It seems to be, yes. It seems to be coming from the same direction rather than coming from the light itself.
Right.
Now the door's open, everyone will be able to hear it as well.
Right.
Well, I guess at least it wasn't pointed at us.
Don't sound good, though.
No.
But I guess we should probably head towards things that don't sound good.
I cast Detect Magic again, hoping that I might get a chance to use Knowledge Arcana, I guess, to recognise what it is, potentially.
The light itself is not magical. However, assuming Skrark peeks round the corner...
Yeah...
Hold on to your butts.
Uh-oh.
That's the wrong button I just drew all over the map.
Hold on to your buttons.
Hold on to your butts again.
Oh.
Another corridor.
Look up.
Oh goodness. No. Oh, right, yes. No, I see that is actually quite a thing. That's a
thing.
Now,
what I'm going to do is I'm going to reveal a lot more than I should be able to.
Oh, wow.
Because of the angles. What I'm saying at this point is that is Skrark just peeking through the doorway. I will RP the Skrark reporting back. There's a lot. There's a large, massive, big, dead-ish plant in the middle of a big, huge room, but the room's lit, like a council chamber or something, and there's a lot of...
Right.
There's a lot of bodies sort of in with the plant.
Yeah.
Oh.
Does it look like the plant from the Garden of Yerlik?
I mean, maybe. It's hard to tell. Yeah. It's very...
I know we're going for an assumption, but yes, wrong. Absolutely. If this is Svalbard's council chamber, we found the council dwarves on the other end.
Yeah.
I think that's where the light's coming from as well. It's definitely where the sound's coming from.
Oh, we're going to have to check that out, aren't we?
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
And there's no really... I mean, we could look at the other side of this door.
I saw a few of those watcher plants in there as well.
Oh.
Right. Yeah, Azu's right, though. Skrark, it might be a good idea if you check the other door, just make sure we're not going to be... you know, snuck up.
Yeah. Skrark checks and sees a similar set of stairs that lead up and out in a symmetrical way to what you've come down from.
Right.
Okay.
Probably leads back to a different point on the zoo menagerie level.
Yeah, I'm also guessing that if there were some kind of very important device that they were maybe all discussing at this point,
yeah.
Right. Okay. Onwards, I suppose.
Everyone give me a perception check, please.
26.
Wow.
Oof.
Wow. 12 with a natural one there.
Blimey.
20 from Cell. Not natural.
28 from Hamid and 24 from Skrark.
It is worth mentioning that there is the smell of rotting vegetation, it seems to be coming from in there. And with the exception of that magical tone, the only other sound is that of some other sort of burning braziers within that council chamber. It is a large space, so as a result, it is very quiet once you remove those away. Do you know what I mean? I'm basically laying it out that you don't hear the sounds of movement. You have had a fair, like, listen and check. The only extra thing is, yeah, rotting vegetation is what you can smell.
Slightly strange one, but from a kind of mechanics point of view, can Cell tell anything about how, like, sentient a creature might need to be around to keep the braziers burning? Because that doesn't sound like something that the plant creatures could do, but I'm guessing that Cell, looking at those things, would know if they were, like, automatic.
Having a look at it, it appears, like, you can just get this for free, I don't need to check. Mm-hmm. For the sake of retconning and making life easier, it appears to be a very minor magical effect that's been done, and I just haven't mentioned it to you, Bryn. That was a mistake on my part. You should have detected magic that. It's effectively an ever-burning flame.
Cool.
It's quite common in areas that have a bit of money to spend that are going to need light.
It's just that would have been a clue that there was
you're right to ask. To be clear, the thing with ever-burning flame is it burns forever. So,
and it can't burn stuff down. It's actually quite handy.
It can't. It's very useful.
Nice.
I'm going to go ahead and say, for the sake of my own ease of mind, that Skrark has opened the door to the point where you can see the entire chamber, so I shall reveal it to you.
Oh, dear.
It is a large, circular chamber.
It's such a big plant.
Which has, at the very, very far end, another set of double doors. There appear to be a set of sort of elaborate seats all around the very outside at the highest level. And there appears to be what might be thrones or something at the very, very far end, immediately above and behind the largest brazier of the lot, which is also still burning. The set of double doors behind them. And there is sort of tiered, mundane sort of seating, think more bench style, which drops down almost amphitheatre style into the mass of just dead plant. It looks like there may have been a large stone table in there amongst all of that. Certainly there are the remnants of some dwarves in amongst that plant matter, and there are some watchers dotted around the hall, but for the most part, and you can get this for free, you see lots of signs of people fleeing a space, lots of dropped items, you know, maybe a discarded shoe. Unlike the rest of the city where a lot of that wasn't happening, here there is signs of people, you know, fleeing, things like that. And on that, I think I'm going to take a break, and we can come back in a couple of minutes and see what happens now, with a big grin on my face.
Hooray, gardening!
Hey folks, Helen here to talk to you about The Black Tongue Thief by Christopher Buhlmann. It's a new fantasy series set in a world of goblin wars, stag-sized battle ravens, and deadly magical tattoos. Kinch owes the Taker's Guild a small fortune for his education as a thief. He's working on it. Meanwhile, Galva is a knight and a handmaiden of the Goddess of Death, on a search for her queen who's gone missing. Common enemies and uncommon dangers force thief and knight on a journey where goblins hunger for human flesh, krakens hunt dark waters, and honour is a luxury few can afford. This book is full of dark humour and recommended by fantasy authors like Robin Hobb, Nicholas Ames, and Brent Weeks. You can pick it up now wherever books are sold. Happy reading, and take care of yourselves.
And welcome back, as we, if you look on your left, you will see a large council chamber filled with lurid purple light from an eldritch plant that seems to have died a long time ago. To your right, you will see a brick wall, because that's the map.
Lovely. Thank you. Right.
Right.
Should we attempt to get to the doors behind the thrones?
Yep. Well, if anything's important, it's going to be behind the big chairs.
Okay. It looks like the left-hand side is the clearest way, I suppose. We stick to the side.
Just take our time. Be careful.
Okay.
So you'll also, as you start heading into the room, note that there are a pair of large entrances and exits to either side of this amphitheatre, to the left and to the right. They appear to be corridors, though not doors, like they are open to what's going on. I would appreciate if you could move yourselves on the map and describe. I don't need you in initiative order, but I do need to know where you are, because sight is a thing.
I feel like we have, in previous episodes, established the sort of the range on these watcher plants that you've got scattered around.
I think it's 10 foot?
10 foot, so, yeah.
Two things. One, you are all currently on a wall.
Oh,
you are in the walls currently. Yeah, you see that circle?
The wall is the
circle. It is a circular chamber. Yeah. So Zolf is right now stood immediately next to one of the vacant...
Okay, but basically, Alex, like, obviously, we're going to try and wend our way through avoiding the watcher plants, kind of carefully picking our way around the horrible bits.
Your options are, do you want to go to the middle, do you want to go to the left, do you want to go to the right, or do you want to do something that I am not expecting?
Last stated intent was the doors at the back. That is what Zolf is thinking of doing.
Understood.
But that's,
perfect.
You know, not what everyone...
No, that's fine, that's fine.
And I think we're gonna circle the big plant in the middle on its on the left.
All right, walking through that.
Yep. Understood.
Just charge through it.
In that case, then, I will reveal, you can see that the corridors take an immediate left turn and right turn, respectively, leading in the same kind of direction as those double doors. Everyone give me a perception check, please.
Let's see how this one goes.
22.
Finally, 28.
30.
Ooh.
21 for Hamid and 21 for Skrark.
A full reversal of fortunes.
Azu and Sel, there appears to be a large amount of mechanical and scientific equipment mushed in with the dead plant. Most likely it was upon the table at some time. Sel, you recognise there's some pretty advanced stuff there. We're not talking like there was a smithy. We're talking like... Someone was probably displaying a large amount of like extremely complex equipment. And in terms of the plant as an extra thing, this plant is almost like, even dead, it's still filling maybe half the height of this chamber. It looks like, now that you've all had a bit more of a range around it, have you ever seen what happens with the plant where it tries to germinate and there's no light? How it grows super, super, super quick, but it sort of ends up weak because it's using up all its resources and winds around the place and doesn't do much.
Yeah, and like the white and yellow kind of...
That. It looks like this thing... And again, I'm giving you a lot for free here. It looks like it tried to grow very, very quickly and then like failed, basically, and then has died or something similar.
That makes a lot of sense.
It looks like it... If you see where that watcher is almost on the throne, it's going to be quite difficult to squeeze past it to those doors without getting quite close to it. We could try this side corridor instead, if it's going in the same direction.
Can't hurt to look.
Yeah, let's at least look, because we don't want more surprises.
I mean, I don't know about can't hurt to look. There could be, you know, there could be anything, really.
So,
yeah.
You can see that there is a staircase that seems to lead up and circle round towards where the double doors were, although there is a watcher on one side. You reckon if you were pushed up against the opposite wall, you would be able to make it up that staircase without being in its range.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a plan.
Alright. Mm-hmm. Alright.
In which case then, give me a second.
Oh dear. No. Whatever you're gonna do.
No seconds
for you.
Oh, well, that completely changes the game. God.
Zero.
We should let
seconds.
Me know no first.
You may have 6 seconds.
I have used it up. Perfect. Thank you. In which case, if everyone can stop moving 1 second whilst I do some more GM stuff.
Not the GM
Gross.
Stuff.
Shouldn't be allowed.
No.
GM stuff's the best stuff. It's the best bit. So, you are continuing up that circular stairway.
Mm-hmm.
And as you do, I'm going to help you out a little bit. You see there's maybe one other watcher there, but in terms of what it's actually doing, you can also navigate around that one. I'm just going to reveal Bosch. It doesn't appear to lead to anywhere other than the other side of the double doors.
You word.
You GM.
you absolute word.
At which point...
Mm-hmm.
Ba-ba-ba-da!
The GM stuff.
Please, everyone, stop where you are.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to assume that you've spaced yourselves out accordingly.
Ha! Kino Brin.
Oh, no.
Imagine if some of our characters are killed because we enjoyed moving ourselves around the map too much. Don't move yourself back, you cheeky.
We saw that, Bryn.
Yeah, that's just convenience. I have to move two tokens, so it's convenient for them to be very close together. But Skrark is not going to let someone get that close to him.
I'm going to give you an ultimatum here, Bryn. Mm. You can choose to be where you are or where you were. Don't assume you know which is the right answer.
Well, no, absolutely. I think, in general, we're going to be at least a little bit spaced out here, and Hamid, you know, doesn't want to be, like, is worried about Skrark, but is not going to be overbearing, and is also worried about Azu, so it's not going to be, like, going away from Azu. Like, I may well have put myself in a more dangerous position, but I think that's the more realistic one. Like, where I was before was just for, like, ease of moving people.
That's fine. So, Sel.
Yep.
You.
Mm-hmm.
Notice, as you're passing, there seems to be a slight purple glow coming from the wall next to you that you're sort of hugging up against.
Ooh.
A very, very tiny purple glow. You're not really sure where it's coming from. And just as it catches your eye and grows a little bit lighter, it seems to almost move slightly close towards you and touches ever so slightly your arm, at which point...
Mm-hmm.
What is your AC?
Let's... 21.
What's your touch AC?
14.
14. Perfect. Can you give me a fort save, please?
Good luck.
Sel doesn't really do saves. 14.
14. Okay, cool. As the colour brushes against your, let's say, like, what do you wear on your forearms?
So Sel is usually dressed like a mix of Kate McKinnon's character in Ghostbusters and Gambit.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of long jackety thing. But when they beast shape in, fluffy fur comes out through some of the gaps.
The leather,
yep,
as it is brushed by this light,
mm-hmm,
suddenly starts to tighten.
Wow.
And warp slightly.
Beastie noises.
Lose its colour, and then you start feeling a searing pain on the other side of that leather,
mm-hmm,
as this light presumably is touching your skin.
Ooh.
Dealing you... Let me check. Only 13 damage as you snatch your hand away quickly. And it feels both hot and cold simultaneously. It's a very odd sensation. Like your skin is almost like trying to constrict in on itself.
Is it like liquid nitrogen?
Yeah. And then,
mm-hmm,
the colour disappears again. Can everyone please give me an initiative roll?
Oh.
And I've got my tracker! I've got my tracker! I'm going to track so much initiative, it's going to be like, what is all this? And I'm going to be like, it's initiative, that's what it is.
We never did heal that damage from our previous fight, did we?
No.
No, we didn't.
I'd allow you to have, because you were going down those stairs for a while. I don't mind that. That's okay.
We might well have done it just before we entered that door, because I think we all felt like that was the moment of renewed danger.
Okay, can I please get everyone's initiative scores?
11.
Yep.
11.
Yep.
10 and yep. 10.
And 13.
And presumably, right, that means that you go first, right? I mean, that would be the sensible conclusion there, right?
Well, it's the own initiative you've told us. Apparently we're not fighting anything with an initiative yet, based on the information we've been given.
I do not allow any sensible assumptions around you.
You know what's really odd?
What?
I can understand how you would think that, but weirdly enough, something materialises...
Uh-oh.
...beneath Sel... And starts up through the floor.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
And thus, I will now reveal to you...
Not good.
My surprise! Didn't work. Wait. I got this.
That Helen is relaxed enough to laugh.
I got this. Wait. Okay. My surprise!
Oh, my.
Ooh. Oh, it's the void.
It's a galaxy.
Yeah.
Cool.
No, it's a void.
So.
A void?
It looks like a star nursery nebula to me.
Yeah, and I'm calling it a void because we should definitely avoid it.
So, coming up from the from underneath, like literally through the stone.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, the first thing that leaps to mind for anyone who was there is Rome portal vibes.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
the colouring
no.
is purple. It doesn't appear to have something on the other side of it, but it has that vibe. It is a distortion in space that is... It has a bright, lurid colour, but ultimately it is paining your eyes to try and really see it. It's almost like someone decided to mess around with negative space and then make it purple,
you know? Does it look like a migraine?
It looks like a purple migraine.
Right.
Yes, that's a good way of describing it, actually. In fact, you know that sort of spot on your vision thing?
Mm.
It has that effect to look at directly.
Ugh.
It immediately sort of reshapes itself and then just reaches out and a tendril just tries to brush across Cell's face.
Do I get a reflex save?
No. What, again, is your touch AC, sorry?
It's lower than my reflex. Oh, no, it's not. It's higher, 14.
It gently brushes across your face and you again feel the extreme heat and cold pain. Give me a fort save.
Oh, dear. As I said, they don't really do saves. 17.
Okay. You take 16 damage again.
Ah, what?
Do you have anything on your face that is like a piercing or isn't magical?
No.
It brushes across your face and hurts. Like, really, really hurts. It may have only dealt a certain amount of damage, but the pain is very, very potent.
Cool.
However, rather interestingly, it immediately disappears beneath the stone of the floor again.
Oh, no. I think it's attracted to magic.
In which case, Azu, you are up.
Well, I can't see it, can I?
Nope.
Right, so if I can't see it...
To be clear, it receded back to the ground. It didn't suddenly go invisible.
Yeah, but that essentially means the same thing to me, personally. I'm looking at spells to cast because I can't hit it. So the only thing I can do is cast a spell. And I think the spell I will cast will be... I'm gonna hold my turn.
Ooh, advanced tactics, I see.
I don't know what is happening. So Azu is just gonna be like, and then she's gonna say,
rash actions that worsen the situation. That's what I wanna see. Okay, fine.
Azu's gonna yell, Sully, you alright?
No!
Do you want to come here? I can heal you.
Yes!
All right.
Cell, you are up then.
Cell flies to Azu.
As you move,
suddenly,
a lash of that colour seems to sweep out and try to go for you as you move.
What kind of save do you want?
Fort save, please.
Oh, 11.
You take a further 17 damage as it sweeps across your right foot. Do you wear magical footwear?
As of recently, where we got the new boots.
Yeah, we all got fancy boots.
Yes,
good.
I think they do.
Basically, let me know if at any point I describe a hit that hits non-magical stuff. Your move can continue as was normal.
Cool. Okay, yeah, Cell's in some danger here.
Yeah.
Cell is on 46 and flies over to Azu, yelping slightly.
Oh.
And in a slight panic, casts Cure Light Wounds on themselves.
Okay. In that case, then, Zolf, you are up.
I will cast Sanctuary on myself, meaning that if something wants to attack me directly, it's going to have to pass a will save.
Mm-hmm.
And say, this is obviously a trap, we just need to get out. Don't try and engage this thing. And then I'm going to move into the middle of the corridor, like basically take a 5-foot step and just like look ready to try and basically, if I can make an attack opportunity at this thing, I will.
Understood.
In fact, I will take a different sort of move and move to there to be closer to like threaten squares around Cell and Azu.
No, that makes sense. Understood.
Cell's Killer Wind got them 7 points back.
Perfect. Thank you.
Which, you know, might save a life. Who knows?
As a reminder for you, Helen, at any point when a turn finishes until it comes back round, you can insert your turn and you will then be in that order, okay?
Oh, in that case, after Zolf's turn, I'm going to use my turn to
in
heal Cell.
You're up.
Yeah, I'm going to lay on hands on you, Cell, if that's okay.
Cool, yeah. They won't resist.
Okay, so Azu's going to reach out and she's going to say, okay, let's try. And that is 5d6.
Goodness.
You get 20 back.
Cool!
Perfect.
Yay!
Anything else you're doing in your turn?
Azu's then going to say, I agree with Zolf. Bear with me while I try and figure out if there's a way for me to move from where I am without getting detected by the plant. Okay. So I can go diagonal. So if I go diagonal, that'll be 5, 10, 15, 20. Okay, that's what I do.
Perfect. You managed to avoid triggering any beasties, in which case then... Skrark is up. I'm okay with you controlling Skrark in this situation. I will do so unless I tell you otherwise, Hamid.
Yeah.
Bryn.
I would like to roll Knowledge Dungeoneering to get a, well, I've faced lots of beasties in lots of different situations, what seems like a sensible idea.
Good.
Okay, all right.
I don't know. Basically, Alex, both Skrark's turn and Hamid's turn are going to be like, what do we do by rolling knowledge skills? Because I don't know very much.
Give me a Knowledge Dungeoneering.
That is a 20 total.
You have no idea what the creature is, but you've got a pretty solid guess that it's incorporeal. If it is, it means this thing can move through walls, ceilings, floors, in a way that the rest of you are just going to have to work around, because that's your biggest takeaway, is you aren't going to be able to take cover using anything because it's incorporeal. It's more like a ghost than anything else.
Cool. I guess then Skrark moves in this direction. If we're going to retreat the long way round, but it seems the more sensible direction to move, I hope.
In which case, I'm going to reveal all that bit of the map for Skrark, since Skrark can see it. And Hamid?
So Hamid is going to roll Knowledge Arcana for a how do I hurt this thing?
Yep. Roll high.
Good luck.
Hmm. 21 total?
21 total. You suspect that something like this has immunities coming out the wazoo.
Yeah, well, exactly.
You don't know what would hurt it, but you know it's probably going to be immune to a lot of things.
Oh, dear.
Because it's not of this layer of existence.
Yeah, and then I guess I'm going to cast Fly on myself.
Understood. In which case, then, our new friend, who I really, really am quite enjoying right now... pokes up between Sel and Hamid, up through the floor. It then seems to start to reach out to Hamid, but far more than with merely a little touch here, a little tap there, but just stretch out and elongate, and it just seems to fill Hamid's world as it approaches nearer.
It's attracted
to magic. It's attracted to magic.
Yeah, maybe.
Give me a will save.
Good luck. I hope you necked your potion back when we retconned that we all necked potions.
I rolled a 3.
Oh, Brim!
13.
Brim!
Oh! Hey, Hamid. Should we kick this up a notch?
Please no. Please no.
Don't kick it up a notch.
Hamid, you take 4 charisma drain. And you take 1 constitution drain.
Oh, God.
For reference for listeners, because it's been a long, long time. Ability drain reduces the relevant ability score. Modify all skill statistics related to that ability. You might lose skill points, hit points, and other bonuses. It can be healed through the use of spells such as restoration. It will not heal
Alex,
naturally.
This is unfair because you're
That's
punishing
so much
Hamid.
Maths.
You're also, oh, maybe you're not punishing Bryn by making him do maths because he might like that. But
no,
still,
he quite likes that. Yeah.
And yeah, as you take all of that delicious drain, just delicious drain, it doesn't move away because you know it's just so full. It's just so full of Hamid's charisma. Num 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 num. Ugh. I'm going to end the episode there. This is fun. This is what I want the game to be. Yes. Good. End of episode. I hope you all are ready.
Alex, did the thing take your charisma as well? Because we don't like you very much right now.
It's a very hungry boy.
I mean, I guess it doesn't make me closer to dead very much, but it does make me closer to useless, so...
Oh, dear.
For now, bye.
Bye. Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by Hannah Preisinger. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord or via Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening.
Did heal that damage from our previous fight, did we?
No.
No, we didn't.
I'd allow you to have, because you were going down those stairs for a while. I don't mind that. That's okay.
We might well have done it just before we entered that door, because I think we all felt like that was the moment of new,
I'll trade it
renewed
for
danger.
You if Ben can remind me how to get the initiative tracker up again.